feedback, you know, they can, it just helps with the business and stuff.
I completely agree. Mm-hmm. And before we continue your cross-cultural food-making experience, let's listen to the song.
Yes.
And we'll be back. Sorry about that. Oh, sorry. Welcome back to Call Me Negotiator, and this is Charlotte. We're talking to our guest, Nicole, who was the first one to help me start the foundation with the show. And I feel just so much fun to talk with her. But today we're talking about her food, culture, and her business to do the boutique dinner prep for the small group of people to have the very experience, intimate experience. So you showed us some kind of really, I think, Jamaica culture related food pictures, right?
Yes.
And what is the current one right now?
Okay, so one of the things very similar to Asian culture is we love rice.
Okay.
That's rice is one of our favorite things to eat. But we have a dish that we eat a lot, and this is a picture of it. And if you notice, the orange looking thing that's in the pot, that is the habanero pepper.
Habanero pepper.
Because I couldn't get a scotch bonnet pepper, so I had to get a habanero. So that's what it looks like.
Okay.
And then the little sticks are thyme, so that was fresh when I put it in. And this dish is called rice and peas. But Jamaicans are funny because we don't actually use peas, we use beans. But we don't call it rice and beans. We call
Are they the same thing, by the way?
Yeah. No, peas are different.
Oh,
like green peas, for example.
Peas
like,
and beans.
Yeah, they're different.
Okay.
But we, for some reason, just to be, I don't know, to be funny. I don't know why. I have to research the reason why. But we call it rice. Our dish, we will say rice and peas. Whereas, for example, if you went to Cuba, they would say that they eat beans and rice. But we say that we eat rice and peas, but it's really beans. It's confusing. I don't know. Whatever.
Right. Maybe they like the peas as pronunciation.
I think so, probably. Yeah. But this is a dish that really accompanies a lot of our meat dishes, especially jerk chicken.
Okay.
So if you're making jerk chicken, most people will have rice and peas on the side. You know, they might have a little bit of a salad and stuff like that. Sometimes we eat just white rice with like no beans, no peas in it, whatever. And sometimes we eat like coconut rice, you know, made with coconut milk and stuff like that. So, but rice tends to be like one of our staple.
Rice is my favorite too.
Me too.
In the south of China, people normally prefer rice. And
I love rice.
North, people prefer noodles. I think noodles are great, but rice is my favorite.
Rice is my ultimate favorite.
Yeah.
One of the, let me get myself back in here. One of the other things that I like to do, and it's because I was born in Canada, like I like to do fusion Jamaican food. So I will take a dish that I might have eaten from another culture and then I will make a Jamaican.
Okay.
So for example, chili, which is a dish that, you know, you might have if you are Latin American, you know, coming from the Spanish culture. I will make chili, but then I will add jerk chicken in there or I will add like jerk vegetables, jerk flavored vegetables. So that is like chili right there. And then it will basically have the spices and the flavors that are relative to Jamaica as opposed to like Mexico, for example. So that's some of the things that I will do. Like if I make a spaghetti, for example, which is very like relative to Italy, for example, I will make a meat sauce or a vegetable sauce and I will add the jerk sauce, marinate a little bit of it to the sauce to kind of give it a little bit of Jamaican flavor.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do with that in everything. I just like, because I try to cook sometimes and I feel like, oh, maybe I will never really mess it up because when I mess it up, I just add a bunch of hot pot sauce 100%. And save it back.
And you're good.
So, yeah, it's the same thing
that
you do.
It's the same thing. That's the same thing.
Right.
So pretty much like a lot of, and what this does too is it allows me to connect with like other guests that maybe have never tried Jamaican food for the first time, but they've tried chili
Mexican food or
they've tried, you know, tacos or something like that, right? So one of the things that is also very popular in Jamaica and a lot of Caribbean islands and stuff, and Asian culture too, is fish. So there's so many fish dishes that we have. And one of the things that I like to make is like jerk shrimp tacos. So I will season the shrimp with the Jamaican jerk spice. I will fry that up and then I will put it in a taco with like avocado, lettuce. And then therefore it becomes like a Jamaican taco.
I love how people like with this smashed avocado and make it kind of like sauce or dishwasher sauce or something. And adds to everything. It's just a perfect combination.
100%.
And by the way, somebody asked like, what is jerk chicken from our Chinese comments?
Okay.
I think it's like a dry chicken.
It's so basically that marinade that I gave the recipe for, you would put, and I'm gonna only give the way you would do it in Canada because I don't have the wood burning fire that I can get in Jamaica, right? Like I live in an apartment, so I like so I have to make it the way you make it in Canada. But what you do is you can either go to the store and buy the marinade already done. So brands like Grace will already sell like the Jamaican jerk sauce marinade. You can just go and buy it. Or I like to just make it my own because at least I know all the things that are in it. It's fresh, this and that, whatever. And then you just, you know, you put the marinade on your chicken and you season your chicken in the way that you normally would prepare chicken. So like for Jamaicans, we like to wash our chicken. We like to add lemon. We like to sometimes add vinegar, do all the things, prepare the chicken. Then you'll put the marinade on. And then basically you can do it two ways. You can either put it in the oven in a roasting pan with a cover on top and then bake it for like, you know, an hour, however long it takes to make your chicken.
Right.
Or you can pan fry it. So I will like, you know, put oil in the pot, a little bit of oil, and then some onions, get that going, maybe some garlic, and then I'll put the chicken that's already marinated, and then I will pan fry it like that.
Right. So but I'm very interested when you mentioned that seems like in Jamaica, people do use like the wood fire.
Oh, yeah. So there are a lot of, so there's, when I was in Jamaica the last time when I was there for like a few months, I was living in the mountains of Jamaica. So way up in the mountains, and you know, people have like beautiful homes and all that stuff, but people also have outdoor kitchens where they will have like an outdoor grill that they've made. People will also like go to the river and actually like cook at the river. They will like build a fire and like bring pots and cook over the fire. You know what I mean? Like, that's what they'll do.
I watched some like short form videos, like influencers does that.
Yeah.
I thought that was just for like.
No, it's real.
It's real. Oh, wow.
It's real. So that's what they'll do. And so I'm just showing a picture. That's what the jerk sauce looks like.
Right.
That's what it looks like.
Right.
Is very like.
Oh, so it's a sauce.
It's like a sauce.
It's not a main. Like dish.
No. It's your marinade to make the dish.
Oh, maybe you can just make, you know, manufacture it with a can or something like that.
I used to, back when I had the other business, people used to come to my business to buy fresh jerk sauce that I made.
Oh.
Sometimes chefs would come
and
buy it, and because, you know, when you're in the farmer's market energy, people want handmade things, just like when you go to the farmer's market, like here, right? Like most people go to get handmade craft type of things. So they would come and buy mine as opposed to going to the grocery store and buying one that was
Could you share a little bit about this farmer's market culture in Canada?
Yeah.
Because we didn't really know about it. And the first time I saw it, I was like, this is really amazing, but I didn't even know that people actually handmade it.
Yes.
And how do they keep it? How's this kind of farmer's market run?
Yes.
Here?
So in Vancouver, it's a little bit different than like when I lived in Calgary, because it gets so cold there.
Right.
And their weather isn't the greatest, that they have kind of like, I don't know if you've been to Granville Island.
Yes.
Where they have a market, which is indoor, and then all the vendors have their own spot and stuff like that. So that was kind of the setup that I had, where my booth had a stove, it had ovens, it had, you know, a commercial sink, all that kind of stuff. And I would cook in my space, and it was certified by health services for me to be able to have it as like a commercial kitchen.
Okay.
So if I was booked to do like a festival or like a catered gig or something like that, I would make it at my booth.
Okay.
Right, my actual little booth. But out here, it's a little bit different because there's Granville Market, which is like that, but then there's all these outdoor markets that happen usually from June till about October.
Okay.
And basically what that is that people will go to these markets. It happens like, let's say, one day a week for a few hours, and you go there, and then it's a place where like farmers, small business owners, whatever, they all like set up their own table with their own, you know, tent and stuff like that. And then they sell food, right? So they make it, they grow it, and they're organic. Exactly.
So why do you think people prefer, like some people prefer to go to the farmer's market and get this fresh ingredients, or not ingredients, actually it's already pre-made, rather than normal supermarket, right?
Because a lot of people like to support small business, and they want to be, they feel that, and this is happens a lot, is that when you go to a farmer's market, the money that you spend is really kind of going into their pocket, right? Whereas like when you buy something that, even though the brand is a business, sometimes like the brand has, like, they have to pay shelf fees to be in a grocery store. So many things that they have to pay for. Whereas like when you go to like a smaller like business, they you get connected to the person who actually made it. You get to talk to the person who grew it. You know, you get to hear really what the ingredients are, you know, and I think that, and people want connection, right? Like I know it's a very like technological world and we're all virtual and online and whatever, but people still like to do things in person.
For sure.
It's very much that I feel that's the reason why a lot of people like to like connect with the farmers and local people, because they get more connected and they want to support their business.
Yeah, I feel like from your description earlier about this Jamaican jerk chicken sauce, and I kind of feel like it's just like, it's not about, it's real culture, right? Because when there's a big brand, market is from like what kind of culture? I doubt it. But then you actually love the culture from the culture and respect the culture, so it must be like more authentic. It cannot be more authentic.
Absolutely.
And also I wanted to say, because when you talk about this, you have your own little tips and preference. So I can see that you add your own personalities into it, and when I go buy from you, I cannot just feel, oh, it's authentic, it's organic, but also from the conversation and connection I had with you, I kind of feel like, oh, this is like how this person preferred to make this kind of sauce, and I feel like deeper taste from the service to the deep. Oh my God, I'm a philosopher, but I do feel like that way, right?
It's true, it's true. And I find too, like even as somebody who goes to the market to buy from people, and this is what I did too when I used to be in the market, is like people tend to make things with love. You know, and you kind of you like you were saying, like you feel that energy when you buy from somebody because they're putting that love into whatever they're making, right? And I think a lot of people are missing that. A lot of people are lonely and they don't even have a lot of people in their lives, so it's like they go to the farmers market, they talk to people, there's a lot of talking that goes on. You don't really talk to the owner of the product when you go to the grocery store.
Do they have the time to deal with you? Like, 100%. Deal with me? Because I start to imagine that I go there and talk to people.
Listen,
I'm one of those people who need to talk to them.
When I had my booth, one of the things that I did in the setup and the build of the booth was I had a bar, like a bar where people could, and they had stools, so people could come and sit at the bar and watch me cook. And they would talk to me, they would hang out, they would whatever, and I would like make one of the things I didn't even talk about today, but I'll put it in real quick, but one of the main things that is it's like a street food snack in Jamaica that you can get here, but nothing beats Jamaica, a Jamaica patty. And the Jamaican patty is like a pastry with meat inside. So think of it like a meat pie type of thing. But the meat is seasoned, it's spicy, and I used to make them by hand. So like people would come and sit at the bar, they would watch me roll the dough, they would watch me make the meat filling, they'd watch me like assemble it, bake it, and then when it came out of the oven, they would buy one.
Well, it feels like a omakase style.
100%.
But like, yeah, it's just like you talk to the chef and then you get why they put these ingredients in what way. And I think that's very special because sometimes we're chasing for this personal experience where you don't get anywhere else, right?
Yeah.
But I'm super interested in this. Maybe I'll start to show up in the farmer's market.
Yeah, it's good.
But like, you talk about this, but then you transfer your business into the smaller boutique one. Because it offers a more intimate experience. But then you mentioned about also, I think this is very interesting because as how everything in Canada becomes like more like a fusion style. So I guess you have a lot of experience to deal with people from different cultures, but they to guess if they like it or not liking it. Yeah. How did you mingle all different kind of like culture preference?
Well, what I started to do, instead of thinking so much about the people, I just honestly started to thinking about what do I like, because I feel like as long as I like it and I think that it's delicious and I would eat it all the time or whatever, like that's as far as I can go. Because if you start to like do it more for the people, I feel like you'll like almost never be satisfied. Like, you know, you're always it's not an easy journey to go on, right? If I go that route. So I just chose to make things that I like and think of the things that like I like from other cultures and decide like, okay, how could I turn that into something Jamaican?
So you always have this sneaky little I totally feel it, because for me when I talk about something or hosting my show, I also sneakily trying to share more about how I understand not just Chinese culture, also like culture from Chengdu.
Yes, right.
As I'm holding a panda.
Yes.
Where like I always do this because that shows the love and care.
Absolutely.
From where you come from.
Absolutely.
Right. So it's just kind of natural, and I think people like it.
Absolutely.
People respect it.
Absolutely.
Right.
And I will say too that one of the reasons, you know, I was talking about like why am I not doing it like the old way that I used to do food. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a lot of work and all the things, but one thing is it also saves money by doing it the new way, where it's more the intimate spaces, because in many cases I go into somebody's home, so I'm not paying a rental fee. So one thing I will say is that when I had the market booth, like I had to pay rent every month. And so it's not free, you know what I mean? Like,
right. So you sell your product or service by like with a location fee, but when you go serve people, it's just service.
It's just service. It's just more service.
So but you can sell your can to them too.
100%. 100%. And then you could also get repeat. Like you get the ability to get repeat, because if somebody out of the group that came to this dinner likes it, they will
refer to others.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like you can share a little bit like cans and print it with your contact,
100%.
Your socials.
100%.
So people like, they feel like it's not just about the food, actually.
Yes.
Sometimes, maybe eventually, I still like Chinese food the most because I've been eating it for my whole life.
Yes.
But I do want this exotic experience.
Absolutely.
With also delicious food.
Absolutely.
Right? And this like chef who is very like bring this exotic vibe and give us some cultural the cultural encyclopedia.
Yeah,
thing,
absolutely.
Right?
Yes,
like,
yes.
So I love it. It's like you are educating us.
100%.
We have something to talk. We don't have to be like gathered here and don't know what to talk and have to. You know, sometimes you start with something new, and then I love it. I definitely can't wait to have that experience with you as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I love one of the things that you said is the education part of it, because I feel like in other spaces, especially even when you go to a restaurant, like in many cases, you don't always get to meet the chef. You know, you basically just order your food. That's it. There's like sometimes your waiter will tell you about the dish, obviously, but you don't necessarily get the education of how it was made always and stuff like that. But when you have something intimate, you're literally talking to the chef who is telling you not just about how it was made, but maybe sometimes a history of it, so that it kind of gets, more connection to the dish if you're not familiar with it. And one other thing that I will say is that, you know, when you ask me about like how do you decide what to make and things like that, one of the things that I do get feedback from a client is, for example, if they are like vegetarian or vegan, right? Because I am a meat eater. I do eat meat. I make a lot of meat dishes. But like if, for example, they want more of a vegetarian option or a vegan option, then I will give them some options to choose from. And so then they can at least say, okay, this is something I want to try, or this is before I actually do the dinner.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this is really fascinating to me, because I didn't know that there's so much things that would be included.
Yeah.
And also I would always be the one who trying to know more like over the food, right? Like beyond the food. Yeah. And I like to talk, have conversation, receive information, knowing about the culture. Mm-hmm. So we definitely wanted to talk more about it. But unfortunately, we're getting the end of the show as it always flies so fast, right? And since we have such a great conversation today, I really appreciate and thank you so much for joining us and share your thoughts and experiences. And as always, the hour goes by so quickly. So before we wrap up, a big shout out to all the staff and volunteers at CJSF who makes this space possible. And I really appreciate all the support from our listeners and followers in China and overseas. Your support for the show and for me personally really means a lot. And also appreciate all the listeners from Canada and listen from CJSF 90.1 FM. And a big thank you to all of our guests from the different culture backgrounds for bringing your stories and perspectives to the show, and to everyone who listens with curiosity and an open mind, learning from different perspectives and growing through these conversations is really what Call Me Negotiator 跨文化对谈 is about. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain in Greater Vancouver, Canada. Join us every Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. Vancouver time, or tune in live at cjsf.ca. We also live stream on my Chinese social media channel, 野蛮生长夏洛特, every Friday from 7 to 8 a.m. Beijing time. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next week.
is Bird Note. A light September breeze wafts across a coastal estuary. A flock of common terns wings over the water, their harsh voices a